Amici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Monzenerson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
He's here. So the president, wait a minute, the president general. A quorum is present. We will post the colors, and Senator Dave Nelson. Dave Nelson will lead us in the pledge. We have with us today two very prestigious historical performers who portray Thomas Jefferson and James Madison as they were 200 years ago to the day, which of course means that James Madison, seated with our own Senator Larry George, is the fourth and current president of the United States, as well as being the father of the U.S. Constitution. Thomas Jefferson, who is with me, our third president, is known for being the author of the Declaration of Independence, and will give our invocation today. Mr. Jefferson, please.
I thank you, Mr. President. Indeed, I can assure you, for Mr. Madison and myself, this must be our nation's most historically unrecorded moment in history, is it not? that we are all together this day, and to share with you my great delight, for my greatest interest and curiosity throughout the 8 years of my administration was that I could have been on that expedition led westwards by my fellow Virginians, Captain Lewis and Lieutenant Clark. I would have never thought from their description that I would discover here, would you agree, Mr. Madison, such sublime natural beauty and extent of civilized society. Our pleasure to be here, citizens, and my pleasure indeed to pronounce the invocation, the prayer that I have written for our nation, which you will find in the Episcopal Prayer Book as I help to formalize that ecclesiastical body seated on the vestry of St. Anne's Parish in Albemarle County, Virginia. Almighty God, who has given us this good land for our heritage, we humbly beseech thee that we may always prove ourselves a people mindful of thy favor and glad to do thy will. Bless our land with honorable industry, sound learning, and pure manners. Save us from violence, discord, and confusion, from pride and arrogance, and from every evil way. Defend our liberties and fashion into one united people the multitude brought hither out of many kindreds and tongues. Endow with the spirit of wisdom those to whom in thy name we entrust the authority of government, that there may be justice and peace at home, and that through obedience to thy law we may show forth thy praise amongst the nations of the earth. In the time of prosperity, fill our hearts with thankfulness, and in the day of trouble, suffer not our trust in thee to fail. Amen.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Now, I want to thank Mr. Jefferson, President Madison, for being with us today. Now, this is a situation. I'd like you to listen to this. In hearing room 50, between 1 and 4 o'clock this afternoon, both President Madison, former President Jefferson, and Mr. Jefferson will be available for questions and answers. The topics include the U.S. Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and more. Everyone's invited. Now, I must caution you, you cannot go and ask them a question like, how do you feel about Social Security? You don't do that. Or do you think Alaska and Hawaii should be admitted to the Union because there's no ground for that? You can't do that because, you see, they weren't around then. So that's not a fair question. You ask them questions about when they were there, which means if you don't know history, you got serious problems. So I would invite you all, please, each and every one of us, to go down there between 1 and 4 in Hearing Room 50 to question the great Thomas Jefferson and the great James Madison. They're extraordinary performers. It's an extraordinary performance. I've never seen it before, but the reports are it's outstanding. And, of course, it's a part of our great history of our great country. So I hope everybody understands what I just said. You can ignore it at your peril, because I'm sure both are very gifted at handling questions beyond when not only when they were president, but beyond when they passed on. All right, enough of that. Courtesy of the Senate, recognize Senator Dave Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's really my honor today to introduce the Queen and her court for the Pendleton Roundup for this year, 2009. This is the 99th year of the Pendleton Roundup, and next year is our centennial. If you have not been to the Roundup, the fact that watching these young people ride into the arena at full gallop and jump over a couple of barriers and roar right up into the front of the grandstand, you're really missing something. So, and if we had different ethics laws, I could all get tickets for you. But if you come out here, you're going to have to buy your own tickets, you know. And we're more than willing to help do that and find places to stay for you, because we really do want you to come to the Pendleton Roundup. At my desk is Queen Tiffany Aliverde. If you could please stand up. Princess Mackenzie Beard is, where is it? Right here? Okay. Princess Kristen Hoft and Princess Ashley Kennard and Princess Amber Pack sitting right here. And on the side, you know, these folks travel there. They're going to the Rose Festival parade this weekend, and so they're coming down. And this is a traditional thing that happens every 2 years, but they're always accompanied by members of the board and their wives, or vice versa. So we've got Larry and Julie Williams. If you could stand up and just stand up, that would be good. Randy Severe, Kevin Hudson, and Carl Cullum are someplace back over here sitting at the side aisle. And sometimes Kevin Porter travels with him, Ryan DeGroft, and maybe they're with the Happy Canyon Princesses, and I don't see those two young people here also. But those Happy Canyon Princesses are Martell Benson and Shauna Treloar. And they're just down here having a grand time, and I would ask that the Senate extend courtesies to the members of the 2009 Roundup Court. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Nelson, to the Queen and the Princesses and all those that are here for the court, for the Pendleton Roundup. High honor and privilege that you would come today and honor us with your presence on the floor as well as in the side aisle. It's a great event, very much a part of who we are as Oregonians. I have not been to the Pendleton Roundup. I have been to Senator Dave Nelson's house for about 1 minute, but I have not been to the Roundup. That's something I probably should do. I probably should do that, that not anybody's listening or cares, but I probably should do that. So, Dave, Senator Nelson, thank you very much for making sure that we are visited and get to meet these individuals from Eastern Oregon and Pendleton, a great part of our state, for a great, great event. Look forward to it again this year. Thank you. Recognize Senator Suzanne Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I ask that courtesies of the Senate be extended to Allison Semler, who's seated at my desk today. Allison is from Portland. She graduated from Lincoln High School in 2008, where she was a cheerleader. She just finished her freshman year at Vanderbilt University in Nashville, where she's majoring in public policy. Her favorite class was ethics, and she's going to be an intern in my office for the rest of the session, and I request that courtesies be extended to Allison Semler today, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you. Allison, thanks for coming and being a part of the Susan Bonamici team. And good luck in your studies. Vanderbilt's one of the great institutions in the world, not let alone in this country. They've done some interesting things in athletics recently, surprised me. But great academic school, great school. Good luck to you. Thanks for being here today. I'd like to extend the courtesies to you. And thanks for helping Senator Suzanne Bonamici. Recognize Senator Margaret Carter.
Thank you, Mr. President and colleagues. I would like to extend courtesies to Reverend Miniweather, Stuart Miniweather, who is visiting with us today. He is the pastor of the Open Bible Community Church in North Portland, a native of Louisiana, and he picked up at the age of 17 from the deep South to create a new life for himself and later for a beautiful family here in Oregon. He is the father of the pianist whom you have met, Matthew Miniweather, who has played for me all the time, and today we're going to be singing on the house side for the memorial services. And the third generation is young Darius Miniweather, who's standing there. Great things are happening. He's a freshman at Grant High School. He's currently involved in the golf program at the high school and is nominated to the Congressional Youth Leadership Council in Washington, D.C. He will be representing the state of Oregon as a national scholar. I ask the House to extend courtesies to all three generations of the Miniweathers. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Carter. Yes, the generations are here, and we're honored and privileged that you would come here today and be a part of our ceremonies and our presentation and our deliberations. High honor. I'd like to extend the official courtesies of the Oregon State Senate to you on this date at this time. Thank you very much. Very pleased to have you. Are there further courtesies at this time? Remonstrances? Recognize Senator Rod Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Many of you know that I spent my life as a U.S. history professor and teacher, and so I've seen portrayals of our founding fathers many times. I've always been impressed when the portrayals are accurate. Thomas Jefferson was known in his day as Tall Tom. He was a full 6 feet,
yes.
And the portrayal is very apt. He was the most notable scientist and inventor that ever served as President of the United States. James Madison, on the other hand, was known as Little Jamie Madison at about 5'4", and people often wondered, you know, how he was as successful as he was other than his brilliant mind. His greatest success, of course, was winning Dolly, the belle of the day, as his wife. Hope you will enjoy these gentlemen being with us today. And I hope you will get a chance to see their presentation in room 50.
Further remonstrances? Message from the House.
Mr. President, my colleagues, Senator Massey, passed Senate bills 867, 444, 679, 863, 299, 409, 560, 56. House Bill 2003, Senate Bills 566, 735, 821, 44, 208, 373, 538, 636, 691, 763, 24. Pass the following Senate Bills amended by the House. Senate Bills 876, 512, 177, 605, 400, 929, 112, 170, 515, 731, 862, 942, 16, 118, 174. Concurrent seven amendments and repass. House Bills 2233, 2252, 2369, 2506, and 2564.
Reports from Commerce Committees, reports from Standing Committees, reports from the SR 8.551 Committee Report Summary Number 112 was distributed to members June 3rd, and Number 113 was distributed today. This information will be recorded in the status in the Journal of the States Report, and is so ordered. Reports from the Special Committees, propositions and motions. Recognize Senator Richard Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Democrats request a 15-minute caucus in their caucus room.
Recognize Senator Ted Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Republicans would like to ask for a 15-minute caucus off the floor.
The Senate will go into recess until 10:15 a.m. this morning. Senators now in recess. Senate will please come to order. Clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Juanes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
quorum, Mr. President. Senate recess on the order of proposition and motion. We'll resume under that order. It's so ordered. Recognize Senator Rick Metzger.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 147.
Senator Metzger has moved that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 147. Two-year motion, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 147B is the bill that requires persons using compressed air when maintaining landscape irrigation systems to have a license issued by the Landscape Contractors Board. The House amended the measure to clarify two exemptions. It removes a duplicate statement that landscape architecture is not the same as landscape installation, and it clarifies that licensed landscape contractors to be exempt from licensure as construction contractors must operate within the scope of their license. Both clarifications are entirely within the scope and practice and the Oregon Legislative Assembly, and I urge an aye vote.
Thank you. Is there discussion on the motion that is now before us? Those of you that opinion that the Senate should concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 147 will answer aye. The names are called. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Atkinson.
Senator Atkinson. He says.
Bates. Buonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Juan Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Starr, Telfer, Berger. President Courtney.
Yes.
Not answering. Carter.
Move on. Excuse. She's in Ways and Means.
Excused. Burdick. Carter. Przonski. 27 ayes.
SB 147. I received a constitutional majority declared repass. Senator Laurie Moss Anderson, what purpose do you rise?
Permission to return to courtesies, please.
Without objection, please feel free to do so.
Mr. President, I would like you to extend courtesies to Hogan Cedar Elementary students. They're fourth grade students. Hopefully, are those them right up there? The teacher is Sandy Duty, and fourth grade has a special connotation to me because my daughter teaches fourth grade. So anyway, welcome Hogan Cedar Elementary students. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Hogan Cedar, pleased to have you in the back gallery. Hope you're having a great day in your state capitol, and hope that you will come back and see us again. I believe that Senator Monica Anderson's daughter teaches in Phoenix, Arizona. So fourth grade was a great year. I can't even remember it, but I think it was a good year for me. So I wish I was with you in the back alley in some way. So thank you. Thanks for coming to your state capitol. We'll now, recognize Senator Larry George, please.
Courtesies, Mr. President.
Please feel free to do so.
Up in the gallery, colleagues, today I'm honored to have a great group of honor students here at the Capitol. Joining us in the gallery this morning are members of two honors American government classes from McNary High School, which is in Kaiser in the southern part of my district. As a class project, they have been attempting to balance the state budget, and today visits gives them a chance to observe the legislature in action, observe the decision-making process. Also in the class, I believe, is Victoria Walker, and many of you know her father, Russ, who works hard in the Capitol on the issues of the budget. And so I would ask that we extend courtesies to the McNary High School students up in the gallery. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. To the honor students up in the gallery from McNary, it's an honor and privilege to have you. Thanks for all your hard work. Obviously, you work hard to be an honor student. That's a rare honor and a special honor. Congratulations to each and every one of you. And go Celtics Saturday night at 5 o'clock out at the Volcano Stadium as you attempt to win the 6A baseball championship in the state of Oregon. So good luck to the Celtics, and thanks you for coming to the state capitol. We're going to now go to the regular order of the Senate's business. We're under propositions and motions. Recognize Senator Floyd Przonski, please. He is not here. So we will move that motion to the bottom of the calendar. So here we go. Recognize Floyd Przonski. He is not here. So we will move Senate Bill 335 and 277 to the bottom of today's calendar. Action on executive Action on executive points requiring Senate confirmation. Introduction, first reading of Senate measures.
Senate Bill 979, Motor Vehicle Fuel.
Transmitted to the President's referral. Second reading of Senate measures. Third reading of Senate measures. First reading of House measures.
House Bill 2003, Little East Land.
Transmitted to the President's referral. Second reading of House measures.
House Bill 2238, the Hardship Permits. House Bill 2292, Department of Corrections, Declare Emergency. House Bill 2507, Completion of High School, Declare Emergency. House Bill 2553, Learned Vehicle Accidents. House Bill 2666, Learned Perinatal Mental Health Disorders, Declare Emergency. House Bill 2667, Learned Elections. House Bill 2739, Motor Vehicle Dealerships, Declare Emergency. House Bill 2795, Learned Diesel Engines. House Bill 2834, Learned Oregon School for the Blind, Appropriate Money, Declare Emergency. House Bill 3082, Learned Tax Compliance, Prescribing Effective Date. House Bill 3263, Learned Statute of Limitations. House Bill 3379, Learned Transportation, Declare Emergency. House Bill 3463, Learned Biodiesel, Declare Emergency.
These are passed the calendar. Third reading of the House measures without objection. We'll move House Bill 2893 to the head of today's third reading of House measures. Clerk will read the bill. No, wait a minute. What are you doing?
House Bill 2893, Olive Oil.
Recognize Senator Martha Schrader.
Colleagues, it is my pleasure to introduce a great example of citizen-led legislation. I believe that Mr. Paul Knowles is in the gallery this morning. House Bill 2893 would direct the State Department of Agriculture to develop standards for olive oil sold in Oregon that are consistent with the categories most consumers are already familiar with, such as virgin, extra virgin, and imitation olive oil. There are two reasons for this bill. The first is to protect consumers. A consumer who buys a product labeled extra virgin olive oil has every right to believe that the oil has met some specific standard of quality, but that is currently not the case. In fact, standards like virgin, extra virgin, ordinary have no legal meaning under federal law. USDA olive oil standards were first established in the late 1940s and still use the terms fancy, choice, standard, and substandard to describe olive oil. In particular, the term extra virgin olive oil, which under HB 2893 would designate the highest grade of olive oil, is currently widely misused by cheap knockoff brands using fake Italian-sounding names. These lax standards are also a safety issue. People allergic to soy, peanuts, or other foods should know that these oils are not being added to products labeled virgin olive oil. Passing this bill will help protect both olive oil and consumers and producers. And yes, there are a few pioneering farmers who have shown that Oregon is surprisingly hospitable place to grow olives. I urge the Senate to follow the examples of California and Connecticut and create clear standards for olive oil. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone want to discuss this bill? Senator Rick Metzger, please. Be careful.
Thank you. This bill came out of our committee. I appreciate the good carrier's explanation. It was very fascinating to learn from the New York Times about most of this oil comes from Spain or Italy, that it can be contaminated. I think this will help actually make better consumer choices in oil. The concern I have about the bill, it does nothing to reduce our dependence on foreign oil. Thank you, Mr. President.
Is there any other discussion on this legislation? Senator Schrader, do you wish to close?
Yep.
The question I rise upon the third reading, the final passage of the House Bill 2893. Those opinion bills passed out. I suppose no clerk, please call the roll.
Whitsett. Winters. Winters.
Senator Winters.
Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juanes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. President Courtney.
Yes.
Carter. Excused. Burdick, Brzozinski, voting no. Atkinson, Cruz, Whitsett, 25 ayes.
House Bill 2893, having received constant majority, declared passed. Clerk reads the bill.
House Bill 3033, on election petitions.
Recognize Senator Rick Metzger.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 3033A resolves what is believed to be an oversight in election statute by aligning the timeline for circulating an initiative petition for a county or city measure with the same timeline for circulating state measures. House Bill 3033A limits signature gathering for an initiative petition for a city or county measures to 2 years, the same time frame that individuals have to circulate petitions for state measures, and prevents petitioners from circulating the same petition year after year in an attempt to eventually achieve the required signatures. I think that the proponents of the bill, the ACLU and Oregon Home Builders, summed it up best during the public hearing in the Senate Rules Committee, saying good bill should pass. Thank you.
Thank you. For the discussion, recognize Senator Jason Atkinson, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. President. Mr. President, the reason I voted no in committee, and I will continue to vote no, is one part philosophical and two parts historical. First of all, philosophical, this body of government does not have, in my mind, the ability to tell the people who have the initiative process or the ability to gather signatures how long those signatures are valid for. You cannot, I don't believe one branch of government can limit the people's right. That's the philosophy. The history on this, and if you'll know, I've introduced measures for many years to keep signatures timelines valid longer. It was, I believe, in 1968, then Secretary of State McCaul with another, I forget his name, the Attorney General of Oregon, got together to try to defeat a measure that was very unpopular, that they didn't agree with, I should say. And so they put an administrative rule, a limit to the amount of time that signatures were valid for. Well, now, 40 years later, we still have that in action, and we call it this body's ability to limit the amount of time that signatures are valid. And we've all seen year in and year out, if the ballot comes up that a Secretary of State or a very partisan member of this branch of government doesn't like, you can mess with the people's ability by limiting lengths of validness of signatures or any other games. So I'm a no vote, and I would encourage other people who share a similar historical interest or philosophical interest to vote no also.
Thank you. Further discussion? Senator Metzger, do you wish to close? Question I rise upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 3033. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons-Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzozinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winter, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Burdick, Brzozinski, voting no. Atkinson, George, Gerard, Cruz, Nelson, Starr, Whitsett, 21 ayes.
The House Bill 3033, having received constant majority, declared passed. Clerk reads the bill.
House Bill 3157, juvenile detention facilities.
Recognize Senator Doug Whitsett.
Thank you, Mr. President. After the North Oregon Correctional Facility was built, there was an agreement for the sheriffs to coordinate operations of the facility with the adults. In 1999, this was codified into statute. House Bill 3157 would allow the Juvenile Director Oversight Committee for Gilliam, Hood River, Sherman, and Wasco counties to do the same thing and coordinate the juvenile facility with the same type of collective oversight that the sheriffs have had. This bill has no revenue impact, no fiscal impact. Passed the House 50-0, Senate Judiciary 5-0. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you. Discussion. Question on the third reading and final passage of House Bill 3157. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Carter.
Go ahead.
Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard, Hess, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Juanes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters.
No winners.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Not answering. Bilquist. Excused. Burdick. Brzezinski. 20 ayes.
The House Bill 3157 have received the constitutional majority declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 3234, then clinical laboratories.
Recognized Senator Alan Bates.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 3234 is really a pretty simple bill that I actually sponsored on this side. We decided to use the House version of it, which is exactly the same as mine. It's something that's actually pretty simple, but actually important in health care. The previous language we passed in a bill last session was trying to open up the ability for patients to access their laboratory results within 7 days of a request by the patient to receive that information. The way it was written, it really blocked them from doing that within that first 7 days. Some of the information you need from your laboratory to go directly to the patient is actually very time sensitive, such as Coumadin testing. You need that information within hours of the test being done to adjust Coumadin levels. This bill now corrects that error and allows information to flow directly to the patient. The bill also, we previously had, inadvertently blocked us as physicians from saying to a laboratory, I want my patients to have instant access to the laboratory's results if we wanted to. I'm not able to do that under the present law in the state of Oregon. This bill corrects that error also. Physicians can still say, we don't want this information going out until I have an opportunity to discuss it with the patient. But for those of us who want access for our patients to look at their results, it opens it back up for us. In addition, it's another safety issue. Many times, unfortunately, in our complex and difficult system of reporting laboratory work, a physician will not receive the information in a timely fashion. The information may be sent to the wrong physician. This has happened and has caused the loss of lives. This is another way for patients to see their laboratory results, and then if there's concerns on their part and they haven't heard from their physician, it allows them to call a physician back up and say, hey, what's going on here? So it's a good bill. I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. There's a discussion. First and final, third reading and final passage of the House Bill 3224. The opinion bill is passed. The House Post, clerk, please call the roll.
Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfeather. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Burdick, Brzezinski, 20 ayes.
The House Bill 3224, I received the constitutional majority declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 3254, in special districts and projects of date.
Recognized Senator Dave Nelson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 3254 is a permissive bill allowing radio groups to form a special district for assessment. It comes out of a situation in my district where the chemical demilitarization plant is being shut down and probably within 14 or 15 months. They have a state-of-the-art federal supported radio system, and if when the federal government goes away, the money goes away, and so what they need to do is to form a special district to try and raise the money within the local community. I urge your support. Thank you, Mr. President.
There's a discussion. Mr. Rice, on 30 and final passage, House Bill 3254. This opinion bill is passed. The House Post, no clerk, please call the roll.
Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfeather, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Burdick, 20 ayes.
The House Bill 3254, Council Majority Leader passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 3367, Relent Lighting Fixtures and Court Emergency.
Recognize Senator Mark Hass.
Mr. President, whenever I'm lucky enough to vacation in eastern Oregon, I always marvel at how clear the night sky is and how brightly the planets and the stars glow. The truth is, though, those stars shine just as brightly over Portland. It's just that they're obscured by pollution, light pollution. Light pollution occurs when outdoor lighting is misdirected, unshielded, excessive, or unnecessary. We've all seen the sky glow around major metropolitan areas. This sky glow is a common form of light pollution which wastes energy, obscures the nighttime sky, and costs taxpayers. This bill before you today, House Bill 3367, addresses this problem. It does so by requiring public utilities providing customers with outdoor lighting fixtures to offer those consumers the option of using shielded outdoor lighting fixtures. The bill also tackles the problem of mercury pollution by restricting the use of mercury vapor lighting and prohibiting the sale and installation of new mercury vapor lighting fixtures. And that provision comes on the heels of what happened in Congress last year when they voted to outlaw the manufacture of mercury lights in the U.S. This bill prohibits the use of state money to install or reinstall outdoor mercury fixtures, and it directs that public buildings constructed after January 1st, 2010, to use alternative lights. It was once thought that light pollution only affected astronomers, and in fact, some of the earlier efforts to control light pollution in Flagstaff, Arizona, 50 years ago, was done just for that, for the Lowell Observatory. Well, Flagstaff, in the last 50 years, has tightened its regulations, and the issue of reducing unwanted glare has spread around the world. Now, unlike astronomers, we don't need a clear night sky for our work. But we do need darkness. Scientists say darkness is essential to our biological welfare. And if we alter this daily rhythm, sky, day, and night, we might as well be changing gravity. This is a small, inexpensive step toward a more efficient use of energy. It will save taxpayers money. It will clean up the environment. Someday, our kids may be able to find the Big Dipper from inside the city limits. Thank you.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson.
Mr. President, question the carrier.
Would the carrier respond?
Yes.
The carrier will.
Mr. President, good Senator from Beaverton, would you be open to a friendly leaf blower amendment to this bill?
Mr. President, to the rogue senator, or senator from Rogue Valley, and I would be open to that. However, unlike light pollution, I don't believe leaf blowers affect our circadian rhythms of day and night.
Okay, I'm good.
I recognize Senator Ted Farrioli.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, the key to the bill.
To the bill.
The carrier mentioned the word gravity, and I thought to myself that the gravity of this issue was of such significance that the legislature really needs to act on this bill. And I was reminded that from a black hole, not even light can escape, Mr. President. So I'm going to refer to this as the black hole. And the hole I refer to is the one in logic. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Vicki Walker.
Thank you, Mr. President. After 10 years, I didn't think this bill was going to pass. I'm going to vote for this bill in honor of former State Representative Chris Beck, who did not want lighting to interfere with the night sky, and he also didn't want leaf blowers, Senator, but all you're getting today is the lighting. So I'll give an aye vote for this one. Thank you.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Jeff Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President. A correction to the last speaker. What former Representative Beck did not want was light shining on the beach, if I remember correctly. I think, Mr. President, this bill is an overreach. If you want to see the stars, go into the country. It's what we've always done.
Is there further discussion?
Senator Hess, do you wish to close? Question on the right, on third reading and final passage of House Bill 3367. Those opposed, bills passed. The ayes opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Bonnet Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Burdick. Voting no. Atkinson. Boquist. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Cruz. Nelson. Starr. Telfer. Whitsett. Winters. 18 ayes.
The House Bill 3367 has received constitutional majority, declared passed. Without objection, I will move the House Bill 3451 to the foot of today's third reading House measure calendar. Clerk will read the bill.
House Short Memorial 11, urging President and Congress to ensure that revenues realized from carbon sequestration projects on federal lands are shared with state and county governments.
Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is House Joint Memorial 11, which urges the President and Congress to ensure that revenues realized from the carbon sequestration. I couldn't even say that if I practice.
Sesquicentennial.
No, wrong. That's not it. It's not 150 years. It's reducing sequestration projects.
Just do it.
On federal lands are shared with the state and county governments. Fine piece of legislation I'm carrying. I would urge an aye vote.
Thank you. Is there further discussion? Question now arises upon third reading and final passage, HJM 11. Recognize Senator Jeff Cruz. I didn't see your light. It looked like it came up late.
Thank you, Mr. President and colleagues. Just two quick points. Man-made global warming is a myth, and carbon is not a pollutant.
Further discussion? Question now arises upon third reading and final passage, HJM 11. Those opinion bills passed. The ayes opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Burdick. Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Bonnet Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonsky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Chi, Boquist, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Burdick, voting no. Cruz, Whitsett, 27 ayes.
HJM 11, having received constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk reads the bill.
House Bill 2124, Indigenous Assistance.
Recognize Senator Lori Moniz Anderson.
Here's another important bill, colleagues. Back in 2008, the Congress changed, they actually passed the Food and Nutrition Act. And they changed the name of the food stamp program to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. And the acronym will be SNAP. So instead of calling it the food stamp program, we've got to start calling it the SNAP program. And I really think, even though you may not think this is very important, there are, in the month of April, there were over 590,000 people who were receiving food stamps in Oregon. This equates to one out of every six Oregonians. And I believe firmly that we really need to start talking about nutrition and not just giving out money for food. And I think that's what the Congress is doing, and I know that that is what we are doing here, especially with the fact that our children are more obese today than our generation when were at their age. So, colleagues, I do encourage you to vote yes on this to change food stamps to supplemental nutrition assistance program. We did that with the welfare program. Remember, we used to call it welfare, and now we call it temporary assistance for needy families. So I urge an aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Brian Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I write in opposition to this bill, and it's not for anything the carrier said. I don't have a disagreement whatsoever with the carrier of this bill. In my district, the particular agency that tracks this program tracks many other programs in the state, and I've come up with a whole handful of cases of outright fraud that have been brought to my office. And we've been unable to deal with those, and that's when we're able to track them so that we can figure out what's going on. And, of course, fraud's a big issue, and we know that there are inconsistencies in the health care plan that cause problems with this. If you look at page 2 of the bill, and at the top of the page, on lines 1, 2, and 3, we're not talking about the name here. We're talking about how we provide the benefit. And it specifically says, eligible to receive electronic benefits transfer or check to the individual and household certified. So what we do or what we're planning to do or what we will do when this passes is we're going to send a check or electronic funds transfer to their bank account. Now, I personally think, in my personal opinion, we ought to call this the Oregon Food Fraud Act of 2009. This program, as I said, will allow for the beneficiaries to receive checks receive a check or a direct deposit. So that means there'll be no more monitoring of what they spend it on. They could spend it on cigarettes, which will increase our health care problem. They could spend it on alcohol, which will increase our health care problem. And so it's the method of which we're going to send the dollars out there. I've heard the logic that was not mentioned by the carrier. I'm sure she'll address it in her closing remarks of why we should do that. But to me, this goes the wrong direction. It opens a can of worms, and it may, in fact, do exactly opposite, because the individuals and the families that need this assistance most also are those who are addicted to alcohol and cigarettes and have health problems because they're in the lower economic income of the state of Oregon. I could make a parable of this and say, if we're going to trust everybody that we give food stamps to, then we should stop prosecuting Medicare and Medicaid fraud, and maybe we should consider upon passage just taking the locks off the door of our offices, taking the passwords off of our computers, and opening the Capitol and leaving it open 24/7, because we're going to assume everybody in the entire state is honest. I urge a no vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Jeff Crews, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I voted against this bill in committee, and I'll vote against it here on the floor as well. Not necessarily disagreeing to a large degree with the carrier, but in some ways, and not disagreeing with my good colleague who just spoke. But here's two issues. We aren't required to do this. Okay, we aren't required to change the name. In an environment and an economy where more and more people are going to be wanting to access a program and we change the name in the middle of it, it adds to confusion. People know what food stamps are and they know what that means. To call it something else, I think, will add to confusion. But the other issue here is to call this a supplemental nutrition assistance program. It's not what it is. You know, this program needs a major overhaul. That's acknowledged almost universally.
We know that a significantly high proportion of the people on food stamps have an obesity issue, and it's due to what they purchase with the food stamps. I was a member of the Obesity Task Force, and this is one of the issues we talked about, is should we redesign the program to move people towards healthier choices? The name says that's what we're doing, but in reality it's not. We're not changing anything. I think if we're going to do something symbolic, and clearly this is symbolic, it ought to have some meaning behind it. This does not. At the point in time when we change the program to where it meets the needs that we have, and that is getting real nutritional value to the people in the program, I'd be willing to consider a name change then. But to do this name change now changes nothing and just adds confusion.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Chris Telfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. The carrier is absolutely correct that an acronym will probably be used in this case, and the acronym appropriately would be SNAP. I'm involved in various capacities with humane societies in my region, and they have a SNAP program. It has to do with spay and neuter program. And so I'm a little concerned with participants in the SNAP program as to being confused and maybe uncomfortable with that acronym and that program that they're in, and maybe confusion as to which program they're in. So I will be a no vote.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Bill Morissette.
Thank you, Mr. President. A couple of comments. The good senator from West Valley, Corrales, wherever. to assume that people on food stamps are more or less honest than the other end of the scale, the corporate America, who are involved in fraud and greed and are racking up big bucks, I don't think it's a fair assumption to say that people on food stamps are more or less honest. I think that there are sufficient safeguards in the system. I don't see a change in that. Secondly, the nutrition part of the program is there. We do have food stamps. We do have assistance for fresh vegetables from farmers markets and so on and so forth. And I remember when Senator Shields was here and introduced that idea, and I think that we are moving toward that, and the federal government is changing the name to reflect what the program is all about. The senator from Gresham, who is carrying this bill, I think touches on a good point that the name should reflect the program, and if we are moving toward a more balanced diet and nutrition, we need to bite the bullet and make the change. As chairman of that committee, there was a period of time where we thought we would not even hear this bill again because there was a lot of discussion about whether or not it would be confusing. Everybody understands what food stamp is, but we decided to go ahead and pass the bill out. There was some disagreement to it, but I think it does reflect the name, and I'm sure that the people who are on the program will benefit from it. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Doug Whitsitt.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a brief anecdote. I was in a grocery store here the other day, followed somebody through the checkout stand and who was using an Oregon Trail card. That individual paid for their groceries with the Oregon Trail card, then got out their wallet and paid for their cigarettes and their beer, and then proceeded to buy a number of lottery tickets. Now, if we're going to direct deposit into this individual's account, how does that individual separate? How is there any accountability? It just doesn't work for me, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion? Senator Lauren Morris Anderson, you wish to close, please.
Oh, thank you. It's a good discussion, colleagues. First of all, there was no talk whatsoever of changing the Oregon Trail card. Everyone is still going to be getting those cards, and they can only be used to purchase certain items. Otherwise, it doesn't ring up properly. So where you got the idea that it was going into their account, that is not what we were talking about, and really has nothing to do with this particular bill. Also, regarding the acronym, an acronym is an acronym, and we have other acronyms that go back and forth and may mean something for one and also something for another. So I'm not too worried about this. Also, I think it's really important that we need to start treating this as a nutrition program. In business and in government, I hate to see that there is fraud. There may be fraud, but the benefit to so many needy families in this state overpowers what small percentage of people that would use this program in a fraudulent way. So, colleagues, I urge an aye vote, and I would like to request a call of the Senate.
The Lord Mayor says to me, call the Senate. She is joined by Senator Dianne Rosenbaum and by Senator Richard Devlin. The doorkeepers will bar the doors. The Sergeant of Arms will attend. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Lonis Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
He's here.
All present.
All persons subject to the call are present. Question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of House Bill 2124. Those the opinion bills will pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Lonis Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Burdick. Voting no. Atkinson. Boquist. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Cruz. Morse. Starr. Telfer. Whitsett. Winters. 18 ayes.
The House Bill 2124, I received the constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2175, limits 6-minute reporting.
Recognize Senator Brian Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President. 2175B comes through Committee on Judiciary, has no revenue impact, minimal fiscal, no statement issued, came out 5-0. It broadens the class of non-Oregon convictions or adjudications requiring reporting. What the present problem is that if an Oregon resident is convicted of a sex offense in another state, and that state doesn't require reporting, they're not required to report here. This fixes a loophole in the law. Good bill should pass. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further discussion? Question number 30 and final passage, House Bill 2175. Those opinion bills pass. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Lonis Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Burdick. 29 ayes.
House Bill 2175, heavy seat, custom majority, declared passed. Quick, read the bill, please.
House Bill 2191, Redevelopment Management Services and Court Emergency.
Recognize Senator Dianne Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I bring you House Bill 2191 from our Committee on Consumer Protection and Public Affairs. This is an extremely important consumer protection bill. It would be in any time, but particularly in these very rough economic times when so many people are on the edge or slipping into severe debt and losing everything that they have. These people are extremely vulnerable to entities that come to them and promise to make their problems magically go away. If you watch television, you see ads for these types of companies. We call them debt management services, and you'll see that they're offering some miraculous cure for people's financial problems. But in fact, what they offer is something very different. And I want to talk a little bit about that. Right now, there is no authority under state law to regulate these debt settlement or elimination services, and that's what this bill is designed to remedy. It's a confusing area because there are a lot of different types of debt organizations that do different things, debt consolidation agencies or credit service organizations, and in fact, you'll see support for the bill in terms of floor statements in front of you from many of these other groups that do provide a legitimate service. But let me describe what we're talking about. These debt settlement or debt elimination businesses do things like this. Consumers are told to stop communicating with their creditors and to stop making payments on their debts. And as a result, creditors often sue these consumers once they stop paying their debts and responding to collection efforts. Consumers are told to set aside funds monthly to ultimately be paid to creditors, but the debt settlement companies don't directly handle these funds, so they're really not doing anything that an individual couldn't do by themselves. Debt settlement companies collect fees of 15 to 20% of the consumer's debt in the contract at the front end and during the first half of the contract before the company has settled any debts or really provided any service at all. And they claim a success rate of 40 to 50%. Consumers who aren't successful are paying thousands of dollars in fees with no positive outcomes. Oregonians, many Oregonians have been harmed by these companies. We heard from many of those people in our Consumer Protection Committee. They were solicited by an Oregon company only to have their name and information sold to another company outside the state. Most debt settlement companies operate outside Oregon, often in Arizona or Florida. People are told to ignore communications from their creditors and find that their debt settlement company isn't doing that for them. And they're not told that if they suspend all payments to creditors for months or years, their credit will suffer even more. And while they're in a debt settlement contract, many creditors will sue their debts to collect their debts and then garnish the consumer's wages and resources. So that is the problem. This is what the bill proposes to do. It will create one registration process to include all types of debt management services. It will require a surety bond for consumer resource for all providers, regardless as to whether they directly hold consumer funds. It specifies requirements for written contracts for services and gives options for consumers to cancel those contracts and be repaid for unexpended fees. It requires disclosures so consumers understand their rights. It prohibits improper advertising practices, the misleading practices that I described earlier. It provides consumers with a private right of action, and unregistered debt management activity becomes an unfair trade practice. In addition, the bill regulates the fees that a provider may charge. It is a common sense solution, one that we need in an area that we currently have no authority. It will help lots of your constituents and many, potentially many others who are slipping into debt in these bad times. Colleagues, I urge your aye vote.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Suzanne Bonamici, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I rise in strong support of House Bill 2191B, which is a product of a work group over in the House. I want to tell you a little bit about the proliferation of these debt settlement companies. Market Watch, May 2009. The New York Attorney General is investigating 14 debt settlement companies, many with nationwide operations, saying they prey on consumers by charging steep upfront fees, yet often fail to provide the promised debt relief. And in New York, colleagues, the investigation there, the company had promised 60% reduction in consumers' outstanding debt. Only 1% of the consumers actually received that promised savings, even though the company collected $17 million in fees from consumers there. MSN Money, debt settlement, a costly escape. If you're drowning in unpaid bills and desperately looking for a way out, chances are you've come across an offer that sounds something like this. For a fee, professional debt settlement company will help rid you of your debt for as little as half the amount you owe. Sound like a scam? Having a debt settlement company do the legwork for you is fraught with risk, not to mention outrageous fees. What are those outrageous fees? According to this article, chances are you'll pay dearly for its services. And how much will you pay right now? Good luck finding that out. Here's a quote from somebody from the National Consumer Law Center who's been investigating this issue. I've never seen a company that's given a straight answer. And questionable services. A lot of consumers think they've taken care of the problem, but the reality is the debt settlement company hasn't settled anything. New York Times, February 2008, debt relief can cause headaches of its own. The legislative director of the Consumer Federation of America in Washington said that distressed borrowers who cannot produce lump sums to settle were the most vulnerable to dishonest companies. In some cases, the companies tell consumers to stop paying monthly minimums, explaining that they'll negotiate a settlement when the borrowers have saved enough. Meanwhile, they take hefty monthly fees directly from the client's bank accounts. Many debt settlement companies never explain these risks. And finally, colleagues, also, New York Times, April 20th, 2009. Debt settlers offer promise but little help. It's a pervasive problem these days. With the economy on the ropes, hundreds of thousands of consumers are turning to debt settlement companies to escape a crushing pile of bills. As many as 2,000 settlement companies operate in the United States now, triple that, the number a few years ago. Settlement ads offer financial salvation. They blanket the radio and late night television, and consumers turn to them to get help. Personal finance experts say that help is not the typical experience. More often, they say, a settlement company collects a large fee and accomplishes little or nothing on the consumer's behalf. And here's what I want to point out, colleagues. State attorneys general are being flooded with complaints about these companies and other forms of debt relief. In North Carolina, complaints doubled. In Florida, they tripled. In Oregon, complaints have quadrupled since 2006. Colleagues, this is a critical bill, as the carrier explained, at any time, but especially now. You know what's happening in our economy. You know that our constituents are struggling. There are many legitimate companies out there who can help people. What they don't need is to have monthly fees sitting in an account that they can't use while they're told not to contact their creditors. In the meantime, their credit is continued to be trashed, and in the end, the settlement companies, if they settle the debt, they take a hefty fee. This is a reasonable compromise that came out of the House work group. It allows reasonable fees. It still allows the companies to take a percentage at the end when they settle the debt. This will help our constituents who are struggling. I urge your aye vote on House Bill 2191B. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Discussion. The Rosenbaum, you wish to close? The Senator Devlin. Senator Devlin is demanding call of the Senate. He's joined by Senator Rosenbaum and Senator Montes Anderson. Doorkeepers will bar the doors, and Sergeant Arms will attend. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates.
Don't need
Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters. President Courtney.
He's here. Okay. We're missing Senator Burdick. Yes, that's who we're waiting for. And then we'll go to a vote.
All those subject to the call are present. House bill, question now, right on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2191. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Moniz Anderson. Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Burdick. Carter, Devlin, Devlin, President Courtney,
yes.
Voting no, Atkinson, George, Gerard, Cruz, Nelson, Whitsett, 24 ayes.
House Bill 2191, MC College Majority declared passed. Good call, Devlin. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2221, Phil Swine.
Recognize Senator Brian Boquist. No, strike that. Yeah, that's who I want to recognize.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the wild pig bill. I don't want you to confuse this with the home on the range anti-buffalo bill from 2005, just in case you were thinking it was. However, this bill does not prevent you from bringing home the bacon or acquiring pork for our districts. What it does do is it serves as a version of the Invasive Species Act to prevent the spread of feral swine in Oregon. Let me explain that. Feral swine are free-ranging wild pigs, and these feral swine cause extensive damage to property and livestock through their rooting, wallowing activities, cause of serious erosion of riverbanks and along streams. These animals have been known to tear through livestock and game fences, consume animal feed, minerals, protein, and supplements. What House Bill 2221 would do is help control and reduce the expanding population of this invasive species in Oregon. I would urge a yes vote, and I probably would entertain strange questions. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Is the discussion of the measure now before us? Senator Doug Whitsett, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. For those of us who represent the area along the California state line, this bill could be a little problematic. Feral swine are quite common in California, and like wolves, feral swine don't comprehend state lines. And this bill seems to require landowners or land managers to comply with as-of-yet unwritten ODF&W rules regarding the control of swine. So even though this, I think, is a well-meaning bill, I'll be in opposition to it because I don't believe, first of all, that we can really prevent the swine from coming across the state line, and secondly, we don't even know what the sanctions to the landowners might or might not be. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion? Senator Boquist, do you wish to close?
I will pass on the pigs.
The question is on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2221. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the bill.
Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juan Sanderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters.
Senator Winters.
Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfeather. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse. Burdick. Carter. Voting no. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Cruz. Whitsett. Winters. 22 ayes.
House Bill 2221. MC's Custom Majority declared passed. Clerk reads the bill. Excuse me. Senator Cruz, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I request return to courtesies.
Without objection, please feel free to do so.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the back gallery at the moment, we have 45 fifth graders from Fullerton Grade School in Roseburg up here to enjoy the Capitol. And I would like, Mr. President, for you to extend courtesies of the Senate to them.
Yes. To all those students, we're very pleased you would come to see us today, all the way from Roseburg. We're hoping you're having a good day in your state capitol. It's an honor and a privilege to have each and every one of you. I'd like to extend the official courtesies of the State Senate on this time to you. Stay all day and come back and see us again. Thank you very much for coming here. And thank you, Senator Cruz. We'll now turn to the regular order of Senate business, the third reading of House measures. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2230, with the coordination of land use decision-making between state agencies and local governments.
Recognize Senator Floyd Przonski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this bill, which is House Bill 2230A, came out of your Environment and Natural Resource Committee on a 4-1 vote. Basically, what this bill has done is made a finding that the DLCD rules, as well as some of the county ones, are in conflict. It's a kind of what we would call a cleanup bill. It's going to take care of and eliminate unclear and conflicting provisions and update the regulations in maintaining a high level of coordination between the state agencies and local governments. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further discussion? The quiet question now rises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2230. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juan Sanderson. Monroe. Monroe.
Sue Monroe. I don't know. Move on.
Morissette. Morse. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Burdick, Carter, voting no. Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett, Winters. 12 ayes.
House Bill 223, I receive constant majority, declared passed. Clerk reads the bill.
House Bill 2246, exemption of alcohol, liquor, underage persons.
Recognize Senator Jackie Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2246 clarifies when an adult can give alcohol to a minor. Current law allows parents and guardians to give alcohol to their children. However, it does not specify where the children can have a drink. So House Bill 2246 requires the alcohol to be given to the child in a private residence and the parent is present when it is given. This bill does have a religious exemption. The bill has no fiscal or revenue impact, and I ask for your aye vote.
Thank you. I recognize Senator Joanne Verger.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in opposition, Mr. President, to House Bill 2246. Colleagues, you know we have seen a lot of research since we've been in this building about alcoholism and the genetic tendency in families of young people to become alcoholics. Also, we know that drinking at the earliest ages inhibit other kinds of social growth and encourage that genetic tendency toward alcoholism. The problem with this bill, even though I think it may be trying to fix something, is that all it says is that you may give alcohol to your child as long as it's in a residence. So I think that there's a tendency then for the parent to say, look, if I approve of my child drinking, that's one thing, and you shouldn't be able to tell me what to do in my own home. But let's look at what really is allowed under this bill. Underage drinking at parties is a major problem on the Oregon coast. These parties are in homes, in residences, given by parents, where a group of parents actually sponsor the parties. If this bill said there's an age limit here, 18-year-olds, you're in the home, I could go with that very easily, because I think we almost encourage 18-year-olds to break the law. But this doesn't say that. This says that a group of parents can have a party for 12-year-olds, provided they are only serving alcohol to their child. It also says that it doesn't prevent you from making someone who is visibly intoxicated leave your home. I think, Mr. President, this bill, while it's trying to straighten out something, is just stretching the Oregon law a little bit too far. I frankly could support the drinking age moving lower to 18 than I could to support this bill, Mr. President. Thank you.
The further discussion? Anything, Phil, you wish to close?
I would, Mr. President. I just want to clarify a couple of things here. First of all, this bill is strengthening existing law. This adds language to clarify that parents or legal guardians may provide alcohol to their children only in a private residence, because it is broader than that in existing law right now. So I just want to clarify that. And in addition, the bill will also make language consistent with the minor in possession law under ORS 471.430 subsection 2. With that, I urge your aye vote.
Senator Devlin has demanded a call of the Senate. He's joined by Senator Walker and Senator Lori Morris Anderson. The doorkeepers will bar the doors. The sergeant at arms will attend. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Moniz Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Prozonsky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
He's here. No. All those subject to the call are present. Anyone except the board. Question on the right on the third and the final passage of House Bill 2246. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Girard.
No.
Hess. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Burdick. Voting no. Atkinson. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Cruz. Nelson. Starr. Telfer. Berger. 20 ayes.
House Bill 2246. I've received House majority declared passed. Clerk, reads the bill.
House Bill 2306. With exemptions from execution, declare emergency.
Recognize Senator Jackie Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. President. I bring you another exciting bill from the Senate Judiciary Committee. House Bill 2306 raises the exemption limits for vehicles and homesteads in bankruptcy proceedings. In the current economic climate, more Oregonians find themselves in bankruptcy. These limits were last set in 2005, and House Bill 2306 ensures that the law continues to meet its intended purpose of protecting essential needs from bankruptcy. House Bill 2306 will raise the vehicle exemption from $2,100 to $3,000. For the homestead exemption, the limit for a single homeowner will be raised from $30,000 to $39,600, and for a couple, it'll be raised from $39,600 to $40,000. The bill will also add floating and manufactured homes to the homestead exemption, passed out of the Senate Judiciary Committee unanimously, and I ask for your aye vote.
Thank you. Question now, is discussed. Yes, recognize Senator Vicki Walker, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm glad to see it didn't take 15 years to increase these limits again. I was actually responsible for the increase in 05. I've worked in bankruptcy court as a court reporter for 25 years, and now more than ever, this is pretty critical to raise these rates because people are losing their homes, they're losing everything, their retirement funds, and they just need to have a fresh start, which is what bankruptcy is all about. And I'm glad to see there was no objection from the financial lobby with regard to these rates. So this is good for the people of the state of Oregon who are struggling, Mr. President. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you. Discussion? Question on the 30 and final passage of House Bill 2306. Those opinion bills passed. Say aye. This opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Hess. Hess. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
The House Bill 2306. I received a constable majority declared passed. Clerk reads the bill.
House Bill 2585 in clash actions, declared emergency.
Recognize Senator Suzanne Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, House Bill 2585A comes to you on a 4-1 vote from the Judiciary Committee where there was no testimony in opposition. Some laws have statutory damage provisions, usually for a nominal amount. Currently, if there's a class action, the attorneys must hire expensive damage experts to prove their cases because an Oregon Rule of Civil Procedure 32K, prohibits the use of statutory damages in class actions. House Bill 2585 repeals that rule. Additionally, if there is a class action to recover statutory damages under the Unlawful Trade Practices Act, under this bill, there will be a stiffer burden on the plaintiffs, so it will be harder for the plaintiffs to prove their case than currently. They will need to prove that the defendant's action was reckless or knowing. Colleagues, every other state in the nation permits class actions for statutory damages. The class actions can be brought now in Oregon, but the current system necessitates expensive damage experts. resulting in less recovery for the injured citizens. Please join me in voting aye on House Bill 2585A. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Doug Whitsitt.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was a no vote in committee for one reason. It applies retroactively, and I don't believe that we need to open that Pandora's box, so I will be a no today.
Thank you. Further discussion? Senator Bonamici, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
Question on the third reading final pass, House Bill 2585. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Montezinnerson.
Aye.
Monroe. Morissette. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfeather. Ferrioli. George. George.
So George. Move on.
Gerard. Haas. President Courtney.
Yes.
Not answering. George. Absent. George. Voting no. Ferrioli. Gerard. Whitsett. Nelson. 25 ayes.
House Bill 2585. Having received constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk, read the bill.
House Bill 2759. Will be requisition of instruments and county records.
Recognize Senator Suzanne Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, House Bill 2759A comes to us unanimously from the Judiciary Committee. Currently, there is no method to correct an error on a filed document relating to trust deeds, which creates a lien on real property. This bill provides for forms that can be used to make corrections. It also identifies the legal effect of the correction. It is timely as numerous errors are occurring in this economic climate. I urge your aye vote on House Bill 2759A. Thank you, Mr. President.
Discussion. Question on the final third reading and final passage of House Bill 2759. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Cruz. Cruz. Metzger. Montezinnerson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Devlin, Dingfeather, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas. Johnson.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
The House Bill 2759, having received constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2790, the Board of Public Safety Standards Training.
Recognize Senator Floyd Przonski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, House Bill 2790 came out of your Judiciary Committee on a 5-0 vote. Basically, what this is going to do is going to modify the board configuration for the DPSST. This is one that has a work group product, one that everyone has been participant, and they are accepting the modifications that will be good for all areas that are represented and overseen by DPSST.
Thank you. For the discussion. Question arises by third reading and final passage, House Bill 2790. Those opinion bills passed. The opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Metzger. Metzger. Montezinnerson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Devlin.
So Devlin?
Dingfeather. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
House Bill 2790 received a constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2796, motion set aside.
Recognized Senator Floyd Brzezinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, House Bill 2796A also came out of your Judiciary Committee, also on a 5-0 vote. This basically is going to prohibit setting aside the conviction for a criminal negligent homicide, so those individuals who are currently being convicted of that offense would not be able to expunge that in the future. Thank you, Mr. President.
Discussion. Question now rise upon the third reading and final passage of House Bill 2796. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfeather, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
House Bill 2796, having the constitutional majority declared passed. Clerk reads final bill.
House Bill 2874, Victims of Crime.
Recognized Senator Floyd Brzezinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2874B also came out of your Judiciary Committee, and again on a 5-0 vote. This basically will allow victims in cases to assert the right for a speedy trial. It does create a procedure for how that right can be asserted, and most importantly, it does not give the victim's rights for a speedy trial some superseding ability over the defendant's constitutional rights to due process. So in exercising those rights, victims can raise them, but if it comes in conflict with the defendant's constitutional rights to due process, the defendant's constitutional rights for due process will be the way the court must rule. Thank you, Mr. President.
Discussion. Recognize Senator Bill Morissette. All right, I know what you want. Hold off. Recognize Senator Suzanne Bonamici, please.
Thank you. Colleagues, I supported House Bill 2874B in committee and will support it on the floor. However, I am concerned about additional burden to our already overburdened judicial branch. This is something we'll need to keep an eye on. We did pass a comprehensive bill earlier in the session dealing with victims' rights. This is yet another important piece, but we need to be very cautious about what we're doing to our court system in these difficult economic times. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further discussion. First, I rise upon the third reading and final passage of House Bill 2874. Those opinion bills passed. Say aye. Opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfeather, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
House Bill 2874, I've received constitutional majority, declared passed. Without objection, the remaining House measures will be carried over till tomorrow's calendar, Friday, June 5th, 9:45. All right, please don't leave. I want to recognize Senator Bill Morissette. I just want to make a few announcements. Bill, would you, Senator Morissette, for what purpose do you rise?
Return to courtesy.
All right, without objection, please, if you would do so.
Mr. President and members of the chamber, I have a group of fourth graders from Thurston Elementary School. Curtis Crosswhite is their teacher. There are 75 in number. Would you please welcome them?
Please. Glad you could join us. Thank you. And coming up to Thurston. Honor and a privilege to have you here. Hope you're having a great day in your state capital. I'd like to extend the courtesies of the Oregon State Senate to each and every one of you. Thank you. Recognize Senator Larry George.
Mr. President, I'd ask for suspension of the rules to, in order to vote on House Bill 2585A. Will not change the outcome of the vote.
The good Senator Larry George asks, is there any objection? He asks for unanimous consent to allow him to enter his vote on 2585?
85, mm-hmm.
And it will not change the vote. Is there any objection? Senator, how do you vote?
No.
He votes no. All right. It's imperative all members not on Ways and Means come to the Senate floor at 9:45 a.m. tomorrow so we can have a quorum, because full Ways and Means will continue to work. So please, if you're not on Ways and Means, please come tomorrow promptly at 9:45 so we can work on the calendar. Now I'm going to say something. We're not going to meet
on Friday, excuse me, Saturday or Sunday. I'm not happy about that, but that's life. Come Monday, I told the Senate Democrats this last night in caucus, if I have my way, we will stay here till we sign a die, which means Saturday and Sunday, whatever it takes. However, my personality may dramatically change on Monday. This is a bicameral legislature. That's all I want to say at this time. So I hate to keep putting you on notices like this, but I did tell the Senate Democrats last night that come Monday, I would like to stay here, no disrespect to Sunday, if it takes Saturday and Sunday sessions to complete our work of this legislative session. So there it is, and we'll go forward from that. Any other announcements? Recognize Senator Devlin, please.
Thank you, Mr. President, Senate colleagues. Take your time at lunch, but be in caucus at 12:30. 12:30. Take your time at lunch. Be in caucus at 12:30.
Recognize Senator Ted Farioli, please.
Thank you, colleagues. Republicans, please go immediately to the caucus room. We have a very special guest that's going to address the caucus on important issues of legislative administration and annual sessions. The nominee for the state crustacea will be joining us at caucus this morning, so I hope you will be there. Thank you.
Recognize Senator Vicki Walker, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm glad the good majority leader is going to allow me to actually digest my lunch today. I have an announcement. The first Saturday in June is not only the start of Free Fishing Weekend in Oregon, it is State Parks Day and National Trails Day. Courtesy of my local newspaper, the Register Guard, Mike Stahlberg tells us, Oregon State Parks, and I want these children to know this, they will waive day use and camping fees on regular campsites on June 6th. The Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife will waive its angling license and tag requirements on June 6 and 7, and national forests across the country will observe National Trails Day by waiving recreation fees at trailheads, boating areas, and picnic areas. So, Mr. President, thank you for allowing us to enjoy all these free things, these free activities in Oregon this weekend.
Thank you. You need to take your flowers with you if you want, if you like your flowers. Please take them with you. They'll be taken from the chamber if you're left here. So if you liked your iris, please take your irises with you or have your staffs come by and take your irises because we need to remove them from the chamber. Recognize Senator Jenny Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Finance and Revenue will not meet today.
In accordance, other business of the Senate, in accordance with the SR 8.403 Committee Referral List Number 126-127 distributed members June 3rd, the referrals will be recorded in the Journal of the State Report and so ordered. Any other announcements? If there are no further announcements, and without objection, this Senate will be adjourned until 9:45 tomorrow, which is Friday, June 5th. This Senate is now adjourned.